chapter 4. I know this is familiar territory, but we're willing to preach this. We're going to try to get one more point out of it, maybe two. So if you will, bear with me. I went and preached this last night in Ringgold, Georgia. And God showed me something I've never seen in before. In it, I got some input from a resident farmer by the name of Johnny Hughes. So he's a co-contributor of this message. So if it's real bad, blame him. Just the back end. This back end, there was about five or six preachers there last night who I talked to afterwards, and they come to me and I said, "Do you mind if I use that? I never heard it." And I said, "Man, go ahead. You know, we don't got no patent on any word. Amen. I want it to be shared." The title of the message tonight will be Seedless, Please. Seedless, Please. And you'll know what it is when we get down. There's going to be a lot of familiar ground at the very beginning of this message. And just eat on that. Let it get into your heart and work on it. And listen, about every time I've ever preached this, I've seen people get saved. So I don't know if anybody's going to need saving here tonight. If they do, praise God, we'll let that happen. You can do that any time. But let me tell you this. Use this because it's hard. You can't hardly argue against it. What I'm saying is if you're getting into a conversation with a person that doesn't know Christ, if you use this, it takes away all the argument. Amen? Are y'all ready? Oh, man, I'm excited. We got to spend last night in the Cracker Barrel with about four different kinds of ministers and ministries. It was like my wife had a perspective on it. It said it looked like a little bit like heaven. Because it did. I mean, we had all these people in there, and they all served these different ministries. And we were just having a good... We were laughing. And at one point, Chris McDaniels, formerly of Confederate Railroad, he's standing up singing, preaching. I'm telling you, every one of the waitresses is all walking around the table going, "What in the world's going on?" I end up preaching there. I mean, we could have had... We had two meetings last night. It was just real good, real sweet. So, get an opportunity to serve with them. Did I give you enough time to get to Mark chapter 4, verse 1? If I didn't repent, you should... All right, never, can't take any fun. Mark chapter 4, verse 1. "And he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him the great multitude. So they entered into the ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land." Man, I talked to this last night. Listen, I'm always amazed, and you might get tired of me saying this, but ain't it amazing that God gets in a boat? I mean, God gets in a boat. It looks like the boat would tip over. It looks like the boat would sink. Because, you know, God's a big God. And He just gets right in somebody's boat. And just to be a little bit different right here, He gets in Peter's boat. Ain't it amazing that He's getting in the boat of a man who's going to be the rock of the New Testament? He's going to be the voice of the New Testament starting out. What I mean, at the day of Pentecost, He's going to stand up and start proclaiming the gospel message, and 3,000 are going to be added to the church, and the next time He preaches, 5,000 are added to the church. Listen, this is an amazing thing that God got in His boat. It's even a more amazing thing that God gets in a womb of a little girl named Mary. Amen. God's so big that the universe or all of the heavens can't contain Him, but He's contained and could be contained at one point in time on the slide of a microscope. What would take probably a telescope and you couldn't dial Him in, you can at one point dial Him in on a microscope. That's how much God loves you. I told him last night, it reminds me of a little 4 or 5 year old girl who went to revival, went to meeting and got saved and came home and told her parents, "I got saved and the people told me now that I got Jesus on the inside of me." But the only problem she had was how is He not sticking out? Because Jesus is bigger than me. And I say that, it's a profound message in that. Why is He not sticking out of us? Because He should be bigger than you. Amen. I mean, if you got Jesus in you, that's what people should see about you. I think that's the whole root of this whole message tonight, if we really get down to it. There's a lot of teaching going to happen here tonight. I hope you get this. This is a tool for you to use the rest of your Christian life if you want to see souls saved and lives changed. Verse 2, and he taught them many things by parable and said unto them in his doctrine. I know I've told you this before. Underline and highlight that little word right there, his doctrine. And every time somebody fusses with you or argues with you and tries to tell you, hey, this ain't right or that, you just take them back there and say, this ain't my doctrine. This ain't Baptist doctrine, Methodist doctrine, Church of God doctrine, flat top independent doctrine. This is just Jesus' doctrine. Amen. Ain't you glad of that? Yeah. I'm serious. I'm glad that Jesus has a teaching or a doctrine that we can't foul up. It's not a tradition. It's not something that we make up. It's just the way he says you can tell whether you're saved or not if you go by this teaching. Whoa, that's black or white, ain't it? That's in or out, ain't it? That's up or down, ain't it? That's heaven or hell, ain't it? I love this. And I found some stuff in it that I'd never seen before, so you won't be totally bored by hearing some of the same meal that you've had before. Let's read about 6 or 7 verses and we'll jump down to 13. Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground where it had not much root earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. And when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And others fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. Amen? Jump down with me to verse 13. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable, and then will you know all parables? Let me break that down into phrases like this. If you can understand this, you can understand how you're going to get into heaven, or be left out of. If you can understand this parable, you can understand everything you need to know whether you're going to get into heaven or not. If you can understand this parable, you can understand whether you're saved or whether you're lost. All this teaching in this parable is going to let you know whether you're a child of God or whether you're not. Man, I'm glad of that, aren't you? I mean, I'm glad the Scriptures aren't something that's vague. It's very clear. It's very black and white. It's very plain. And sometimes it's so plain we want to make more of it, but it's not. When Jesus could have got complicated, he got simple. I'll say it again. When God could have got complicated, he made it more simple. He put it on the shelf that everybody could reach it. Salvation's not on the shelf that you have to go search for and climb. It's very, very simple and very, very easy. Let's get into this. I want you to see it. The sower soweth the word. The sower soweth the word. Jesus is the most liberal farmer I've ever met in my life. He throws seed away. I don't know about any other farmer. I talked to John. I just don't know anybody who wastes seed like Jesus. He throws it on everything. I know why now that he throws it on everything, because he's got plenty of seed. He's got plenty of seed. But listen, I want you to know this. Jesus don't mind to throw on hard ground. He don't mind to throw on stony ground. He don't mind to throw on weedy ground. And he definitely don't mind to throw on good soft ground. But he'll throw it. Amen? And guess what? We're supposed to. Listen, we're sowers of the gospel. We're supposed to be slinging seed. I mean, we're really supposed to be slinging seed. I've just came into this thing where the modern Christianity, what we think we've got to envelop people with love and friendship for long periods of time before we share the gospel with them. It's not really true. You can share the gospel with somebody that you just met. I just want you to hear this and let it sink in. I've talked to many, many people over time, and they said, I'm afraid that I'm going to hurt them. I said, I'm more afraid that they die in an accident after they talk to you and they go out into eternity more than I'm afraid that I'm going to hurt them. Y'all ain't going to be mad at me if I preach like that, are you? I mean, I've been here for a minute, but I want you to hear that. Sometimes we're worried about sharing the truth with somebody and we're afraid how they're going to react to us. But what if they die lost? We tend to think of ourselves more than we think about them. We're worried about how they're going to treat us or if they're going to reject us more than how they are about the gospel. I'm really preaching now because it got quiet in here. I mean, y'all are on my side. Y'all are like, man, this guy's good. He's preaching a good word. Now it's all of a sudden, well, wait a minute, you're challenging us because I like to love people. Hey, it's fine to love people. It's great to build a relationship. But when God burdens your heart that person's lost, share the truth with them. And if they hate your guts after that, guess what? They're going to come to find out in eternity that you love them more than anybody else did. And they're going to find out some people who said they loved them was really telling them they hated them because they wouldn't tell them the truth when it was time to tell them the truth. Well, just hold back. We're slingers of seed. We're sowers of seed. And if nobody else is going to sow it, then who else will? If the church won't do it, who's going to? I'm not talking about this building. I'm not talking about this group right here. I'm talking about the born-again believers in Jesus Christ. If we don't throw the seed, who's going to throw it? If we don't share the gospel, who's going to? Somebody will, right? Missionaries, though? We're supposed to be, right? I love this. It's like medicine, ain't it? Tastes like medicine. Feels like it. Verse 10, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they heard it, Satan come immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. You ever been there? I was that guy. Been that guy. I'll tell you right now, I was that guy for a long time. That hard grass. Has anybody ever had a small garden in your backyard? I don't know about big farmers because I can't speak this. I never asked my resident farmer about this question. But I grew up, my stepdad had a great backyard garden. Back. You know why I know it was great? Because I took every rock out of our backyard. I wasn't qualified to do anything else, but I was qualified to dig rocks out. Amen? We had a great garden. Amen? But I noticed down every row, we packed the row that you go down to get the beans, get the potatoes, and get the tomatoes. That was like concrete. Amen? That's the wayside. It's in the garden, but the ground is so hard that it can't be penetrated. There's people who come to our church and their mind and their heart is so hard that the word will never penetrate them. The word will just land. The seed will land on the top of them. And when they walk out of here, it ain't 5 minutes later that the devil swoops by and just snatches it right off top of their head. Now listen, I'm preaching to you. You better hear this. While they're in here, we might even believe they got something that they didn't really get. Because when they were in here, they said, that's good. Can I tell you how many times I went to church? When I was a young kid, 8, 9, 10, 11 years old, people took me. Sometimes I walked to church. And while I was in there, I mean, when I was in that environment, I would be like, man, this is right. But as soon as I walked out the door, the devil would land on my head. And what I mean by that is some girl would come by, or some what I call friend, and would say, come on with me. And I'd go, okay. Seed gone. Amen? Didn't ever give it another thought. Amen? Are y'all good? Because listen, this ain't my teaching. Remember, go back to that verse. It says, this is his doctrine. Those people that got that, they didn't get saved. Whew. I don't like, man, let's not, in this culture in 2017, we like to have shades of things, amen? God don't. He said, if you walked out of there with a seed and the devil snatched it away from you and nothing changed, guess what? You are not saved. Amen. Just the truth. Amen? Check this out. I want you to get to the next one. This is so good. Now this one, God showed me something new in it, and this really hurts our church and scares us sometimes. Can y'all handle it? I'll preach it anyway. And these are likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it in gladness. Amen? And have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time, and afterward when affliction, underline that, or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Do me a favor. Will y'all do me a favor? Go back to verse 6. No, verse 5. Okay, can y'all go back to verse 5 with me? This is talking about the same thing, but will you go back to verse 5? Look at this. I want to show you where we get kind of fooled a little bit right here. Can you handle it? Here we are, verse 5. And some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up. Underline that part right there. It says immediately sprang up. Okay, you got it? We've been in trouble with the spring up. Amen? I have been in trouble with the spring up. I was a spring up guy. Amen? I went to, when I was 13 years old, I went to revival, and the preacher preached so good, and I came to an altar, and I said, man, this is right, and man, I sprang up. You hear me? I grew faster up than I did down. Amen? I had no root. I was sown in a stony place. My heart was still hard. My mind was still hard. And guess what? I had a seed that got into some loose dirt. And it immediately sprang up. Now I'm preaching. You better handle this because this is true. This is God's teaching, not mine. The sun came up, right? Or heat of persecution comes and it burns down on you. And the first thing you do when you're a spring up is you wither away because you have nothing to draw from. Amen? Listen, I want you to hear this because this hurts my heart. It hurts to say it. Those are not saved either. But even though they had a good spring up, man, I could take you to my spring up. I could take you to 1986, 1987. I can remember coming back home from my dad's when I thought I got saved. I sit on the back porch and I told my friends all about Jesus. Two of my friends, David Good and Steve Good. And I told them, I said, man, and you know what they said? This is radical. You know what they said? Kevin, one day you're going to be a preacher. And I believed them. I said, you're right. I knew that since I was 8. But the next day I went to school. And guess what? It was time to stand up in the heat. And guess what I did? The spring up burnt down. Hey, amen? I tried. I was like, somebody walked by and said, hey, man, we don't need to do this. You know, God don't want us to. What? Shelton, come on, man. You're an idiot. Come on. Yeah, I'm just kidding, man. I'm just kidding. Hey, drink this. Okay. Smoke this. All right. Hey, go out. All right. Are we digging into somebody's? Are we digging in right here? Are we preaching truth? I'm just preaching truth to you. I'm just telling you what the Bible says, not what I said. It has no root in when persecution comes. Because listen, when you get saved and persecution comes, you don't wilt away. You don't go away. You don't shrivel up. You stay, man, no matter what. You die on crucifixions. You get stabbed. You get shot. You stand on sidewalks outside of abortion clinics and people threaten you, and you come back tomorrow. Some people say, we'll burn you out. We'll starve you out. There's been pastors whose congregation will starve you out. I'll be here tomorrow. Amen? I'm just preaching truth. When you get saved, there ain't no kind of persecution that's going to stop you from serving God because God's in you. Amen? You hear me? You don't wilt away. If you wilt away, you're not saved. Man, this is hard. This is not what we hear today in church, because we like to say we're all going if we're all saved. And this is a truth word. Whew. Y'all ready? And these, verse 18, and these are they which are sown among the thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Man. Oh, that guy too. Been him. I'm 3 for 3. I thought I had Jesus, but guess what? When you get Jesus, nothing else really matters. Amen. I'm serious. I'm okay with blessing. I love a blessing. Some of y'all act all spiritual. I don't take nothing. I don't mind a blessing. I don't mind a house. I don't mind a car. I don't mind money to be able to go out and eat. I don't mind being able to have air conditioning. I don't mind that. No, I'm serious. Listen to me. I don't mind to be blessed, but I'm not in love with my blessings. Amen? I mean, I don't get up every day and say, I don't have what they have. I get up and say, God, thank you for what I got. Man, I appreciate what you've given me. Anything you want to give me is great. Anything you want to take away, that's great. I might not always understand it, but I still trust you. Are y'all hearing me? I'm not. After you get really set, you don't chase after those things. You don't go after the new car like you used to. Now, some of y'all are having some great conviction right now. You're like, man, I want a new car. I'll just tell my wife, oh, we need to get a new one. Amen? I tell my wife stuff all the time with that. I'm like, I need to get this new shoe. She goes, is that a need? How many pairs of shoes do you have? No! Didn't we just have a shoe drive for all those Horton? Be quiet! You hear me? But I'm just telling you, I'm not in love with the shoes. And if God says, give them all away, I'm giving them all away. If he says, don't buy another pair, I ain't buying another pair. Because I'm not in love with them. I'm in love with him. And just like, if it all goes away, we're still in love with him. But guess what? If you're not saved, you're always chasing after that thing. Man, I got this post. I was sitting there today in my office, and I'm sitting there thinking, man, I got this real good saying. And I thought, man, nobody will get it. I used to find Jesus in all the stuff. All these things. I used to chase Jesus and all these things to try to find Jesus. And then found Jesus and I found everything. Amen? I thought nobody's going to get this because I come up with some crazy stuff. People start saying, man, that's me, man. He goes, that's a message in 15 words. I used to search for Jesus and everything. And then I found Jesus and I found everything. Man, when you find Jesus, you know what you say? I want to do whatever he wants me to do. I don't have to have anything else. I'm totally satisfied. He is my bread and he is my water. Amen? He is my bread and my water. And I am a prisoner for Christ. And I will no longer tell God, you better take me the way I am. Here's what I want to say. God, make me into who you want me to be. And that's who I'll be. Mold me, make me, shape me. Listen, remember the prodigal son? Listen, y'all help me preach. Hey, y'all remember the prodigal son? When he left, what'd he say? Give me. That's what he said. He said, Dad, give me. You know what he come back saying? Make me. Make me. That's what Christians sound like. Listen, I tried to make me. I wasn't no good at it. God put me back on the wheel. And start to reshape my mind and my heart the way you want to be. I wish I had about another 30 minutes to preach right there. I would tell you how God has rewired my mind since I've been saved. Has he done any brain surgery on anybody since y'all been saved? I think everybody talks like God's a good heart surgeon. My God's a brain surgeon. I mean, he's rewiring the circuit board in my brain just on how I look at my wife. Can't be real with y'all. That was tedious work. Now, crack the cranium. Take that wire. Nope, Kevin, that's a bad thought. That's not your wife. That's not a woman. She's a helpmate. That goes in the garbage. And here, I'm going to give you a new line. Here's what you're supposed to. She's a helpmate, a friend. She's a friend that sticks close. I took her out of your rib because she came out of your side and she'll always have your back. Amen. Sorry. Woo. All right. I think that was extra. All right, y'all good? But God reworks you. Y'all want the new word now? Y'all want the new one? It's about to get good because this is brand new. This is straight off the presses of glory. Amen. All right. Verse 8, and others fell on good ground, and they did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30 and some 60 and some 100. When I first read that, I said, good, God, I'm a 30 guy. I'm good. Amen? Then I met some farmers. You know what farmers want from every plant or every tree in their garden or in their field or in their orchard? 100. I'm serious. They might not get 100-fold out of every bush or every tree or everything, but they want it. And you know what they'll do? They'll do everything in their power to get it. They won't let those trees, those bushes, those fruit, they won't do anything, amen? They won't anything in their power. They will change the environment. You know what? When I told you, I said, man, I want this church to grow. Y'all are all like, yeah. But since it's grown, it's a little bit harder than we thought it was going to be. We've got more kids here. We've got more adults here. We've got more attitudes here. We've got more ideas here. Oh, no. Amen? We got more people. We got more problems. Amen? We got more situations. We got more things happening. Guess what? The environment. But guess what happened here? The environment has to change to grow. I think about it this way. Tomatoes and fruit and vegetables. Listen, tomatoes are fruit kind of, but like apples and oranges and stuff like that, they only grow when it's hot. Do you want to grow? Make the environment hot. How do you make the environment hot? Ask God to get in it. God, get in it. I mean, get in this, God. I don't want to have Sunday school without you. I don't want to have meeting with you. I don't want this. I want you to be in it. I don't want to do it myself. I want you to be in every bit of it. And if you do something, I want it to be so hot that if it bothers me, I'll get right. And if it don't bother me, I'm going to praise God when it's there. Amen? I want the environment to be hot. Some of you say, well, I like it cool. Not for growing. It's got to be hot. If you want to grow, you do all your growing in the summertime. Is that correct? I mean, there ain't nobody out there in the winter going, man, I hope that fruit comes in. It ain't coming. It comes when it's hot. Now, you do work in the wintertime. That's good. If you're in the winter season, God's going to work on you. If you're in the fall season, God's going to work on you. If you're in the spring season, God's going to work on you. But if you're wanting to grow and produce, make it hot. Some of you, sometimes, have you ever noticed when a youth group comes back from a big youth trip, we're all like, man, that was just phony baloney. They went out there, they're just phony. Because they went up there and they had all that stuff going on. They got excited. That's all. It'll wear off. You know why it works so well? You know why some of the kids worship? You know why some of them come and got saved? You know why they come up and praise? You know why they were so excited? Because the environment in that place was hot. Never mind. People had prayed for those youth to come. They wanted them to worship. They had an atmosphere for them to be hot in. They said, hey, it's hot in you. We want you. And they seen other kids, they're just worshiping. We don't even know how to. We'll just step on into it. And they come back here. Welcome to wintertime. Welcome to wintertime. And everybody's frizzled and frazzled. Like, what are we going to do with these? Turn the doggone heat up on your relationship with Jesus. Turn the heat up on what you're doing, and maybe that'll catch on to you, and y'all can burn together. But you know what would be really easy to do is just dismiss it and wait for them to chill out like you did. Preach! Last night I stood on the pews. Been a long time since I've done that. Probably won't ask me to come back. I was excited. It was good to be in a revival and preach fire. That word right there I just gave you is fire. You know what else? You know what else farmers do? It's crazy. You know what else farmers do to get fruit to produce, Max? Prune. Cut like crazy. I remember going over to them armor. I love going over there to them apple trees when they were pruning. Dude, it looked like butchery. I went by there and I went, there ain't no tree left. What are y'all doing? And those things looked slack. Charlie, they looked ugly. I mean, those trees are out there just like, all the good laying on the ground. And I mean, they're just out there naked. I'm looking, I'm like, man, you destroyed those trees. Nope, next year they will produce like crazy. Now, your trees aren't going to produce because you ain't never cut them babies. You're going to keep getting 30 when I'm getting 100 because I'm willing to cut something. And what I'm telling you, church, is let God cut on you. Some of you, when God gets to a gritty place in your life, you don't want Him to cut no more on you. So you turn away or get mad or get frustrated, and you say, well, I ain't going to listen to that. I ain't going to willing to change. Why are you not willing to change for? Why are you not willing to let God cut some stuff out of you? Because He knows what He's doing. Listen, the farmer loves the field, the tree, the bush, the plant more than anybody else does because He's the one who made it. Y'all like that seed reference? You know what I thought about the seed? Everything's in it. Everything's in the seed, ain't it? So that's why God says, I sow on everything. You know why? Because everything that's in the seed, that seed, everything that's in that seed is everything you need. The tree's in the seed, the seed's in the seed, and the fruit's in the seed. Let me say that again. The tree's in the seed, the fruit's in the seed, and there's more seed in the seed. So when God says, if I can get this lodged in the right place in your life, you will have everything you need. Branch, amen? Vine, branch, and fruit, and also seed. God's good, ain't He? Man, all he wants to do is get one drop of the gospel into your soft soil ground. Your heart when it's soft, your mind when it's soft. And you know what he said? I'll get the whole thing in you. Because when Jesus gets in you, you can't help but change because the change agent got in you. You never change from the outside in. It's from the inside out every time. And that's why God don't care to throw away seed. Y'all good? He don't care to throw away seed because guess what fruit's got in it? Seed. Amen? Listen, when you crack... Last night I almost... I'm not a big preacher, but I thought about taking two gigantic watermelons down there to this church. And I said, I'm going to split these babies open right in the middle of church. And I thought, no, the cleaning person. And I looked tonight, I was like, man, I can get away with it at our church. And I thought, man, I probably couldn't. But I looked and I said, is the cleaning people here? And that dude, he was sitting about two rows back. He left his hand. He goes, I went, I'm glad I didn't bring them. But listen to what I'm saying. When he plant that seed, all of a sudden the branch will come out and then the fruit will come out. And guess what happens? If you do it right, you open it up. Guess what? There's a bunch of seeds in there. You know what you got to do with them seeds? Yeah, no, come on, stay with me on the watermelon side, okay? Here's what you got to do with seed, or grapes. You either got to spit them out or put them somewhere. Amen, is that true? That's what you got to do. This is what God showed me in that. Everything's in the seed, but the modern day church is doing like we do at the market today. I think we're going seedless. I think we've changed. I believe we put a modification on our church. We want the branch. We want the vine. We want the fruit. But when we crack it open, we don't want no seeds. No seeds, please. I want seedless. You know why you want seeds? You know why you want seedless? Because it's easy. It's easy. We're just preaching fruit, if y'all are right. It's sweet, and it's easy, and you ain't got to worry about the seeds. Amen? We ain't got to worry about the seeds. You don't have to swallow them. If you're country, you swallow them. You ain't got to spit them out. You ain't got to put them in nothing and save them for a while to grow some other stuff. If you go seedless, you ain't got to deal with it. You know what we got a lot of times now? We got a lot of seedless Christians. We got the vine, we got the branch, but we ain't got no seed. You crack us open, and we ain't got the gospel message to tell nobody. We're not going to tell anybody anything because we want people to deal with us. And we don't want to bother them. Amen. We want to be easy. We want to be we want to be sweet, and we want to be easy, and we don't want to be hard to deal with. So we'll have Christian seedless, please.
Amen, brother.
But you know what I want? Seed. God, make me seeded. Give me plenty. Give me seed overrunning. Let me get to the place where I'm like Jesus. I'm going to be a sower who sows. I'm going to throw it on the hard ground. I'm going to throw it on the stony ground. I'm going to throw it on the weedy ground. And I'm going to throw it on good ground because I want so much seed in me. I don't want to be genetically changed. I don't want my kids to be genetically changed. I don't want nobody to touch. Hey, you'd be better if you raised some kids that ain't so profound, that ain't so out there about the gospel. Yeah, guess what's going to happen? Their friends, their families are going to die lost because they're seedless Christians. I don't want to be a seedless church. I don't want to be a seedless church. I want a church that's not afraid, not ashamed of the gospel. I want a bunch of seedy kids. I mean, you think about that when you really get seedy. Used to be mean. He's seedy. I want them to have to do something with the seed. Can I preach right there? Are y'all out with this? Some of you adults need to get a hold of this. Listen, I want you to hear this. I don't care if they spit them out. I don't care if they swallow them. I don't care if they put it in their pocket. I don't care if they throw it away. I don't care if they stomp on it. As long as they have to do something with the seed. Remember when you got saved? How many times before that did you have to do something with the seed that somebody planted in your life? Amen? I spit a many of them out, didn't you? Hear that? It's a bunch of garbage. That's a fairy tale. Huh? spit them out, swallow them, do whatever. And eventually, guess what happened? One got in the right place. And guess what you do then? Hey, I got seed too. Let's all stand. Are you seeded? Or seedless? Are you wanting the generation of seedless? Do you want to be an easy Christian, easy to deal with, easy to swallow, easy to entreat, real sweet, but no seed? Or do you want one of them Christians that gives a seed, and when you give that seed, you're understanding that you're giving them everything they need? Branch, vine, fruit, and seed if they get it. Amen? What are you wanting to be tonight? Where are you wanting to be? Me, I'm praying today that God allows me to be a seedy Christian. And I raise kids that are seedy kids. And I pastor a church that's a seedy pastored church. Amen? So, elders are